That's mine. Thanks. Well, praise God. I'm happy to be here this morning with you in sharing the Word of God. I'd like you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You're going to need to exercise your Bibles because I don't have overhead. 1 Thessalonians 5. Chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. This morning I'm going to be speaking on honoring those in leadership. That's the theme of the of my sermon this morning. Honoring those in leadership. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them," or honor them, "very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." May God add a blessing to his word this morning. So we're talking about honoring those in leadership, and here Paul was talking to the Thessalonians and saying, regarding those that have spiritual authority over you. He's talking about spiritual authority in this context. Those that have spiritual authority over you, you need to esteem or honor them. Because why? Because they labor among us in the Lord. Our pastors, our cell leaders, those in spiritual authority over us, they work and labor unto the Lord for us. And they rule, not rule, but they are over us as a covering. Covering of protection. And as they are that covering of protection, and that they are over us, and they admonish us, they correct us when we need correction. They encourage us, they challenge us when we need to be challenged in the things of the Lord, so that we don't stray from the faith, so that we don't stray from the Word of God, so that we don't stray from what God's best is for our lives, that we are to honor them highly in the Lord. So that's one thing that is a directive of God, the importance of honoring those in authority over us. And then we go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse, 17, verse 17. And it says, "Obey them that have rule over you," or are covering over you, "and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for us," for us. I'm going to say that again. "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves." He's talking again in the context of those with spiritual leadership. "Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." That's the whole purpose of the pastors and the cell leaders and those in spiritual authority over us. They are caring for us spiritually. They are caring for us that we don't stray from the faith. They are caring for us so that we don't make erroneous mistakes that'll cause us to stumble and fall in our faith. "For they watch over our souls, that they must give account." Those in leadership must give account. "And that they may do it with joy and not grief." Do we give our pastors grief sometimes, or our leaders grief sometimes, because we are rebellious, because we don't want to listen to good judgment, we don't want to listen to good instruction? Oh, that they may have the grace of God on their lives, that they would do it with joy as they rule over us or watch over us. and that we would not be like a spoiled little child, kicking and screaming because we don't want to listen to words of wisdom, words of encouragement. Let's get some clear definitions here so that there's no misunderstanding when it comes to the Word of God. The definition of authority. The definition of authority is the right to govern, control, or command, the power of influence, and the right. Clearly from the Word of God, our pastors, our leaders, they have the right, they have the ordination of God to rule over us. And when we acknowledge that and recognize that, then we have to understand the importance of honoring that authority. It's not a man authority, it's a God authority. So let's define authority. Or rather, let's define honor. To value someone includes the idea of esteeming or honoring someone, showing deference to, giving recognition, referring them can also include respect. Do we honor, do we respect those in spiritual leadership over us? Do we honor them? Do we respect them? That is what honoring is, to respect and value them. Or any time we get corrected, or any time they say something that doesn't jive with us because we may not be living according to the Word of God, we backbite, we gossip, we say negative things about our pastors and those in leadership. Define authority. Honoring. Let's define submission because it was mentioned here. What is submission? Submission includes the inward desire to cooperate and obey. It means yielding one's contrary opinions in favor of another's. A voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. So it's an inward act of giving, of submitting. Submitting even though we don't understand, even though we may not necessarily agree. It doesn't mean you necessarily agree. It means you don't understand, but because you know the shepherd over your soul that God has given authority of is looking at our best interests, we submit willingly. And we give that recognition and honor. What is obedience? Obedience includes the outward following of direction, not grudgingly, but willingly. It means assenting to someone else's direction. That's obedience. You ever heard the expression, you know, I may be sitting down, but I'm standing up inside. Right? We're defiant. Yeah, we're obedient. Obedient externally, but internally, we're rebellious. And why? Because we don't understand or recognize the authority which comes from God, who's downloaded it onto pastors and leaders as a protection. Because keep in mind, as we read, they are going to give account to God. So let's try to make their job as easy as possible by honoring and respecting and giving that honor and respect, honoring those in leadership. That is a God thing. Do we do that? We live in an age, unfortunately, and I've been a Christian almost 30 years. I'm 38. No, I'm joking. I've been a Christian almost 30 years. And all I see, unfortunately, are Christians hopping from church to church to church. The minute they go to a church and they feel their comfort zone and it's exciting and it's joyful and it's great, and the minute the pastor starts preaching the word that says, you know what, you got to live according to the word. You got to live the straight and narrow. And it gets out of our comfort zone. Well, I feel the Lord telling me it's time to move. That's not honoring. The only person you're fooling is yourself. The only person I'm fooling is myself. When we just keep hopping and hopping and hopping, that means we're not open to correction. That means we're not open to recognizing the final authority, which is God. How would we like it if our children, whenever we corrected them or gave them sound advice, and we can see the path they're going is wrong, they say, well, you know what? I think it's time for me to change parents. Yep, I'm going to move next door. I like Billy's parents better than mine. But that's what we do as Christians. We're not willing to submit. Why? Because it comes to a spirit of rebellion. We're not willing to honor, even when we don't agree with those opinions. You know what? God has given as a protection for us those in leadership, pastors in leadership, so that we can be protected. We have to understand and respect the order of chain of command, that is. Sometimes we try to bypass the pastors and go straight to God, and he's saying, wait a minute, I've given you leaders that care and love you and want to take care of you. And because you don't want to listen, you don't want to agree, you want to dishonor, you're going to come to me? When we dishonor those in leadership, we dishonor God, because he's the one that has put those in leadership over us. God's authority and godly leadership is never about control. It's only about influence and responsibility. It's not about control. The pastor's there because he cares about our souls. He cares that we are living a life according to what pleases God. Just as you may be parents or in leadership somewhere, you're there because you care that your kids don't go down the wrong path, or those that are under you don't take the wrong path because of your experience and your understanding. You know where it might lead, and you do it out of love and caring, not because you're on a control or on a power trip. It's not about power. It's about love. It's about caring. Isn't that the attitude sometimes the world has towards God? Well, he's a God. He's got all these rules and all these regulations. And again, it's about rebellion. It's about not understanding the Father's heart. That the Father God's only interest is our best interest. How come we can understand that with Father God, whom we don't see? But sometimes we don't understand that about the pastor or the leader we do see. It's the same principle. God's way is honoring. Honoring is respecting. Let's see what Jesus had to say about honoring. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24 to 27. And it says in the word of God, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what think you, Simon? Of whom did the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter says unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that first comes up, and when you have opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and for you. So here Jesus, who is God, understood the principle of honoring and authority. So you have here those that have come and said, okay, it's time to give some taxes. Jesus could have said, well, wait a minute. I'm God. I'm not paying taxes. Who do you think you are? I'm not doing that. He was the prime example of honoring those in authority. He understood the principles of honoring. And he said, you know what? I don't have to. I don't have to. But I will submit myself unto those authorities, and I will willingly give, because that is what's important, the principle of honoring. Matthew 22, so we just flip over a couple of pages. 22:17. To 17 to 21. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt you me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose image and superscription? Like, whose image is on that penny, on that money? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, render therefore to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. So here, even again, those in secular authority, Jesus recognized and honored those in the secular authority. You think Caesar believed in Jesus? No. Or he recognized Jehovah? No. It was a secular authority, and yet he had the presence of mind to understand the principle of honoring those in leadership. Now we're talking not in the church, we're talking outside of the church. And we're understanding that those in leadership not in the church, God still expects us to honor and respect. That may include your instructor at school. That may include your managers at work. That may include those in authority. God has put them there. I know it's hard to believe, but it is true. He has put those in authority. Those in leadership, our government, we have to submit. We have to honor. We have to respect those in authority, whether it's government, whether it's management. You may not agree with what they're saying. You may not agree with what they're doing. God has still put them there as an authority, and we must respect that. We can't circumvent the process, bypass our managers, and say, you know, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to agree. I may be sitting down, but I'm standing up inside, and I'm going to be defiant. It goes back to rebellion. That's the word of God. And we have a tendency of doing the same. Even in our jobs. Well, I don't like where I'm working. I don't like my manager. So I'm moving to a different department. And then you're there a year, and it's like, well, I don't like my manager. I find that they're like this and this and this, and they pick on me and that. I'm going to go to a different company. And we hop from company to company to company. Just like we do the church. Because we don't want to submit to authority. The problem isn't with the managers. The problem isn't with the pastors. The problem is us, because we're the common denominator in everything. It's our rebellious spirit. And God is trying to tell us over and over and over again, if you'll get my principles of understanding and respecting those in authority, you'll understand where the blessing comes. You'll understand where the protection comes. You may not agree with what your managers are doing, but they might see a larger picture that we don't. Just like our pastors will see the larger picture that we don't spiritually. We need to pray for them. We need to honor them, because they are the defined authority. Let's see what the disciples had to say about honoring. Romans 13, verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1 states, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." This is Paul speaking. "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoever therefore resists the power," he's talking to us, talking to the Roman church, talking to us, "whoever resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that shall receive, and they that resist shall receive what? They will receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you then be not afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God." And he's talking about secular authority here, not in the church. He is the minister of God. He may not even be a believer. He's still appointed as authority, even though he might not believe in God, over us, for our good. "But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. For he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due." And here comes the word, "honor to whom honor is due." And now you have to understand something. In this point and stage, who was the ultimate authority in Rome? Right? Caesar hated Christians, persecuted Christians. And yet Paul was still saying, you got to honor him. You got to respect him. What? Are you for real? No, I don't have to. He doesn't acknowledge God. He doesn't. Well, the word says here, and keep in mind, we're not under persecution. We're not going through what the disciples went through under Roman rule at all. We're not experiencing any kind of persecution. They were. So it was real. And they were still saying, we need to honor them because God has placed them over us. As hard as it might be to believe, he has placed us over that. Those are some harsh words, but that is reality. We live a candy-coated Christianity today, where if things don't go our way, or we don't agree, then we walk away. Isn't that the same in our marriages? If we don't agree, we walk away. Let's find somebody else. Here we go, hopping again. Now, there may be extenuating circumstances in marriages. I am sympathetic to that. Definitely. But we have to understand, whether it's in the church, it's in the world, it's in our marriage, we need to honor and respect our spouses. We need to honor and respect our parents, as Al preached a few weeks ago, wonderfully. Honoring and respecting, not when it's convenient for us, not when it suits our needs, not when it's just in the church. It translates in our whole aspect of life, and it isn't easy. I know. I've just gone through a difficult time this week where I had an issue, not with my manager, with my director. But you know what? I have to honor and respect him. May not understand what it's all about. Maybe he has a larger perspective than I do, but I still need to submit because that's what God wants me to do. And I'll tell you one thing that I have learned recently, and I'll be honest with you. Many years I've worked in different fields, different areas, and I never respected as I should those in authority over me. Only recently I've said, you know what, Lord? whatever it may be, I'm going to respect those in management over me. And I've been getting moved, in the last 2 years, I've been getting moved around a lot. Things I don't understand. But you know what? It's the first time in my life that I'm being promoted and promoted and promoted. Nothing's changed except my attitude. I'm finally starting to understand the principle, not just in the church, but in the world. You got to respect, and God will bless. We sometimes hear people preaching about God's going to bless, God's going to bless, God's going to bless, but we don't hear the other spec. But you got to submit. You've got to respect. You've got to understand. You've got to be an authority. You've got to honor. The blessing is not going to come. You know, you can seed 1,000 here, 10,000 there, to whomever you want. God is not going to honor it if you and me, we don't honor those in authority and honor God. Titus 3:1. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 states, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So again, it's talking about submission to those in authority over us. 1 Peter, verse 2. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 states, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. For who? For the Lord's sake. Whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As a free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Again, Peter being persecuted by Roman rule. He even said, we still got to honor him. As malicious as the king is, as bad as he is, as what he's doing, we need to honor him. We need to respect him. We need to submit to those in authority. Why? Because what does it say here? When we live that life, we do honor to God. When we live that life, we portray the love of God, the understanding of God, the respect of God. When we don't, it says here, we make ourselves to look like ignorant fools. And why does sometimes Christianity get a bad name? Why do people at our work or in the world look at Christians with disdain? They don't see the respect, the honor, that we're honoring those in authority over us, which is obedience to the Word of God. It's in the Word. How many different writers have I gone to? It's not just in one place, different places, consistently talking about honoring those in leadership. All authorities, including the ones we don't like, and the ones we disagree with, they have been placed by God over us. By honoring those in authority in the church and outside of the church, we honor God. By dishonoring them, we dishonor God. There's no two ways around it. This is black and white. You can't say, well, this person, my manager, is not a Christian, so I'm exempted from honoring them. No, God put them there. They may be Christian, they may not be Christian, in secular world, in your personal life, in the church. It's very clear from the Word of God. When we support and submit to our leaders, we can be assured of God's blessing. As an outward sign of Christ's likeness, God calls us to live in submission. Now, submission is inward, remember? And therefore, as we do that, we will be blessed and we will be honoring God. So the question is, how do we respond to authority, especially when we disagree? It is representative of our submission to God. Where there's a tendency to go against authority, the Word of God says there is certainty of experiencing judgment. Romans 13, verse 2. Romans 13, verse 2. I read it earlier, I'm going to read it again. Whosoever therefore resists the powers, that be those in leadership in the church, the pastors, those in the secular, our managers, our company, resists the ordinance of God. You're resisting the authority of God when you resist. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, not from your manager by getting fired, but from God himself. So, how should we act? What is God expecting from us? It's pretty clear in black and white from the Bible how we're supposed to act towards those in authority over us in the church, our pastors and leaders, and those outside of the church, in the secular world, in our jobs, in our families, in our marriages, wherever we go. How do we do that? Well, I'm going to close with a couple of stories. And the stories come from the Old Testament. And they're found in Samuel. Stories you're probably very familiar with. The story was between Saul and David. You see, Saul found out that David was anointed by God to be the next king. And he wasn't taken too kindly to that because he wanted his kids to go into succession, to become the new kings of Israel. So David and his men were on the run. They were running and running and running and running. And one day, as they were running, they happened to see Saul and his huge army encamped. So what did they do? They thought, let's go visit Saul. And David went with a couple of men. First time, they went and they found him in the cave, occupied. And what did David do? David went and he took something from Saul. And let's read what he did. He took a little piece of Saul's clothing just to show that he was there and he was so close to killing Saul. Now, the interesting point, pivoting point, is in verse 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 24. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, and you that you may do to him as it should seem good unto you. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. So there was a huge army encamped around Saul. He went into the cave. David found a way to get into the cave. Without Saul even knowing, cut a piece of his skirt, retreated. Could have killed him. And here the men are saying, oh, wow, you know what? This is amazing. You got to kill Saul. God is giving you, he's presenting to you on a silver platter, Saul, that you can kill him and now you can become king. And what was David's response? No, I'm not going to dishonor those in authority that God has anointed. Now, how would our reaction have been? When we have issues with our managers, well, I'm going to pray and fast my manager out of here, and I'm just looking for the day, and Lord, you're going to answer my prayer, and you're going to honor me because I am a child of the king. And then when something happens, your manager's child gets ill, or they get reprimanded and fired. You see, Lord, you see, God, you're great. Is that our attitude? Is that what God really wants to hear from us in our fasting and our prayer? Vengeance? Evil? Doesn't it grieve him to hear those kind of prayers that we send up there? When we're supposed to honor, and that's his word, and we just want to close our ears, shut our eyes to those parts of the scripture because they're not convenient for us. And we act so super spiritual, but we're dishonoring the one who put that person over us, which is God, ultimately. That's who we're dishonoring. Well, what happened? David had another opportunity. 1 Samuel chapter 26. I'm not going to read the whole chapter again. Saul was sleeping and camped about by his warring men. And Saul went and he took something else from Saul as proof that he was so close that he could have killed him if he wanted to. And in verse 8, we read, sorry, let me get to verse 20. Okay. Then said Abishai to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. So he's saying to David, come on, David, this is so obvious. This is God. God is delivering him to you. He's encamped by an army of thousands, and we're able to come in here. I mean, that's a God thing. Really. And David said, no. I'm not going to. God has anointed him. God is going to take him out. I'm not going to touch that anointing, because then I'm going to have to deal with God. I'm going to respect it. And he walked out, and he said, David, look what I have. Saul, look what I have. I could have killed you a second time. Don't you get it? But because of my love and my respect for you, I wouldn't touch you. And Saul ended pursuing David after that, because he recognized the grace of God on his life. That should be our attitude as David. We honor, we respect. We may not agree. We may get persecuted. David's life was on the line. He was being pursued day and night by an army, a large army, to kill him. He could have said, this is going to end. I'm tired of running. I'm going to end it all here. God delivered him into my hands. But I wonder, if God delivered Saul into his hands to test David's heart, if it was pure. David, is your heart pure? Or do you love me so much that though twice I delivered Saul into your hands, you were willing to walk away because you honor me by honoring those I have put under you, over you? Sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives to test our heart. Is it pure? Is it sincere? Or are we just looking for revenge? He's testing the inward of our heart, honoring those in authority. As Christians, we are to honor those in leadership in the church, our pastors, our leaders, those outside of the church, governments, those that are put above us, whether we agree or disagree. When we feel we are mistreated, we must pray for them. Not that they be removed. Okay? But that God would just use them and bless them and be with them. And as God blesses them, God will honor our respecting, not them, but our respecting God who put them there. Let us do that. Let us have a heart of David, who didn't gloat when he had the opportunity, but he lived in humility and love. And I'm going to close with this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That is the chain of a command. We pray for those that are in leadership, and we trust God that God has his hand on them, overlooking our lives, that we may live and lead a very good and peaceable life. When we try to bypass God's authority, there will be no peace. There will be no blessing. I don't care what other people say. That's not the word of God. You don't line up your Christianity on what the evangelist or the preacher says. If it contradicts this, which is the ultimate authority, God will bless you when you honor. Now, there's two things I want to do this morning that we may practice what we've learned. First of all, I'm going to ask Pastor John, and if somebody can go get Pastor Alexandra, we are going to ask them to come forward, and we're going to pray for them. I'm going to ask the cell leaders that are here to come forward. I'm going to ask, in honoring the Hodgsons, to lead in prayer, and that we all extend our hands to our pastors and pray for them and honor them. And then after we've done that, I'm going to ask Pastor John to pray with us and for us that we can pray for those in authority over us at our jobs, for our government, whoever is in authority over us, that we pray for them. We don't curse them. We pray for them. We honor them. Can we stand, please, at this time?
Okay. I didn't know what Joe was going to kind of, I know he's talking about honoring, but we didn't realize what he was doing. But let me just add one thing in while Alexandra's coming. I don't know if you heard about Henry Wright. How many of you heard about Henry Wright? Henry Wright has, he's a researcher, and he's been researching a lot of things, area of sickness and medical area, and he'd been studying over 10 years about sickness and disease. And he's working very closely with Duke University. And Duke University, just sit down for a moment while Sandra's coming. So, sorry. Duke University is literally looking at all the medical side, how they're treating people for their sickness and their issues to be healed. And they realize, oh my God, because Henry Wright suddenly opened a can of worm, they found that every sickness and disease, it has something to do because something happened in the person's life. People who have cancer, people who have pain, arthritis, joint, people who cannot lose weight. For example, their research come out with, people who can't lose weight, because they have some point, some time in their life, they have felt rejection. And rejection is a major issue, problem in their life. And somehow this triggers something that their body, they can't lose weight. And people who have cancer have been son of rebellion. So we're looking at the whole study in depth, and we find that all this thing has some important major issues people's, and they find that the treatment help, but the more they get people healed up through prayer, amazing result. They get their healing a lot time faster. A lot of time faster. We were amazed with the result. The Duke University is coming with this report that they're going to publish very soon. The other thing I want to add before we get prayers, guys, but I want to say this is not about control. Let me say this very clearly. Traditional religion has come to a place in the church where they have overexpanded that too much. They literally put leadership in a place too high, too big, too powerful, and this is wrong. But we're talking about what the Word of God says. I'm glad that Joey talked about this. This is not about control. This is not about religious thing. This is about honoring God's Word. We're going to have a guest speaker coming. And I invite you to make sure you don't miss this. His name is Bob Livingstone. Bob Livingstone is going to be, I invite him to come twice. He was a vice president of Merrill Lynch. He worked with Bank of Montreal, and he's now on Bay Street, and he has his own financial company that he work. And Bob is a very humble, very simple guy. You look at him, you won't even realize what he was. But we were sharing, and he's going to come here. He's going to talk about a couple of things for us. One of the things that just happened, his son, who's, his name is Brian, about a couple of weeks ago, his son Brian gave a donation to Waterloo University, $1 million gift. $1 million, sign a check, give it to them as a gift. And his son is only 23 years old. 23. He did not even, he was studying at Harvard. He has 4 months to finish. And the Lord spoke to him, said, no, do this and do that. So he leave and he start his own business. In the period of a year, he make over $8 million. And I talked to Bob. I said, Bob, how do you train your children? And all his children successful. How do you do that? And he said one thing, honor. The three things he's mentioned, respecting others' people, honoring people, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, is to always respect people. That's his very first thing he trained his kids to study and to be passionate, find your passion when you train. So there's three things. So he's going to come and teach you, us guys, we have parents and on the youth, how we keep focus. And this young man right now, 23 years old, I mean, sometimes you feel like, I you know what? I start having faith to believe for my kids to be able to do this for the kingdom of God. I believe that my kids will be able to give at least $1 million into the kingdom. I start to believe that dream in my life. But one thing is what we need to do is to teach them the principle, right? And this is what it's all about, honoring the Word of God. Okay, Alex, Joe want to do something. Come here. Alex is panicking about the time. I understand that.
Sure, we'll move that away. So, you know, it's so funny how God works because Bob and I had felt this week that we wanted to pray for Alexandra and John and have everybody join in because we're starting our seventh year as a congregation. And we felt like it would really be good to pray for Alex and John in this very first Sunday, you know, of going into our seventh year. And then Joseph does this talk and has this all planned out. So I think this is so amazing. God is so good. So, anyways, just if you want to stand up and just put your hands facing towards them. Okay. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we rejoice today, Lord. God, we rejoice as we come before you, God, together as one congregation who absolutely love you, Lord. Father, we absolutely adore you. And God, we give thanks to you this morning for our pastors and leaders, Lord. God, we thank you so much for putting Alexandra and John in this position of leading our congregation. Father, we say that you are such an awesome God, that you could give us people who have such a heart for you, who lead by example, Lord. They lead by example, Lord. They're on their face before you, Lord, and they're leading by example, God. Father, they've laid down so many of the things they could do. They're so multi-talented. But, Father, they choose to follow you in this path. And God, we honor them, Lord. We speak blessing over their lives, Lord. We ask, Lord, that blessings would pour into them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God, that you would give them open hearts and brains filled with your wisdom, God, so they can hear you clearly, Lord, and know exactly where you're going. Father, we thank you that you've given them hearts to obey you, Lord, that, Father, they listen and obey, and that's truly all you ask for us, Lord. So, God, we bless you today, and we thank you for our pastors, and, Lord, we pray for this coming next year. Lord, together, Lord, as we worship together, Father, Lord, we pray for health and wholeness and healing. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would learn about honoring, that we, God, would come before you, Lord, and we would check our hearts, Lord. And, Father, we would look at our motivations, Father, and guard our words, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Joseph's message today, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that as we're going into the seventh year, Father, that we would be a people who are known for our love, for our actions, and, Father, that our actions would speak loudly to the community of Ajax and Pickering. Father, we thank you, Lord, in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Right, Joe, let me just... I just want to pray for you as well. While you were preaching and everything, and then at the end you say, you know, I've seen many people who preach a message like this, and the next thing we know, the enemy go after them. And I don't want you to be tested to that, what you preach, you know. How many know what I'm talking about? So let's stretch your hand to Joe. Let's pray for God's protection over him. Father, we pray for Joe and Angie and the whole family, Father. The Romita family, Father, we just pray for your protection over them right now, Father God, that the enemy will not retaliate, will not come against them, no matter what happened, that there will be nothing open, Father, for them to come and steal and destroy, Father. We just pray for protection of their mind, their soul, their spirit, and everything that you have provided them with, God. And this, Father, we just pray for peace and joy and excitement, Father, that those who preach your word, Father, will go further and deeper and stronger, Lord God. We give you thanks, Father. I just want to pray for the whole church right now. Everyone, Father, who come to a place of barrenness in their life, God, that they can look back, Father, and say, God, I want to see more in my life, Lord. And your word says, those who are sick, called on the elders of the church to pray, and the prayer of faith will heal them. And Father, too many people today don't even know who are the elders in their life. They don't know where to go. And sometimes they stretch their hand to a TV monitor. And but that's not what your word says, God. So Father, we pray that let your word be real. Let your word, Father, set us free, God. We pray, Father, this morning that there's be a restore and alignment, a plumb line alignment with your word and with your people and your church. And Father, this is not to bring people into restriction. This is about freedom. This is breaking them from the yoke of slavery. Father, I declare everyone here in this place, Father, who listen to your word, the truth will set us free. In Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name. I just want to bless those who are as well, who was in the position of leadership, yes, and who has been burned, who has been hit hard because of rebellion. Yes. Father, we just leave those people in leadership, Father. We just say, Father, let your spirit come upon them. Let your spirit keep burning again and again and again, for your calling in their life, your purpose in their life will not come to an end until they cross the finish line. Until you say it's over, it's not over yet, God. So, Father, we pray that each one of us has a plan and a calling and a destiny in our life. So, Father, we just bless that calling right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, folks, we're okay.
We're okay.
No fast and pray today, right? We can all go. Bless you. Okay, remember Faith and Frank has their table at the back.
Followers Mission.
And Followers Mission on Friday. Those who want to go to Followers Mission, go at the connection table.